In the light of Hadith, 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 in the light of Hadith.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Views of Madani Channel, welcome back once again to our silsila, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. In this silsila, we take a look into the collection of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala entitled Al-Arba'een, in which he collected 40 ahadith of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which form the foundation and the basis of our deen. In this silsila, we make intention to gain blessings from the tradition narrated from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that whoever preserves 40 ahadith for my ummah, from the matter of their deen, then such a person will be raised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a scholar, when the company of the scholars, on the Day of Judgment. InshaAllah azawajal, in today's episode, we'll be looking at hadith number 1. Having covered in previous episodes the importance and the concept and the blessings of hadith, and also a detailed biography of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, the author and the compiler. So inshallah today, we'll be looking into the first hadith and seeing what pearls of wisdom it has for us. Before doing so, I'll share with you a virtue and a blessing of reciting Durood Sharif, reciting peace and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man salla alayya salatan, sallallahu alayhi ashran, wa kataba lahu biha ashra hasanatin," that whoever recites peace and blessings upon me once, Allah Azza wa Jal showers 10 blessings upon him. And Allah Azza wa Jal writes 10 good deeds for that person in exchange for that good deed of him reciting durood and salawat. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallam. Hadith number 1 in the collection of the Arba'een, the 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, is a famous hadith, a hadith that many of our viewers of Madani Channel will have heard on multiple occasions. The hadith is reported عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه, on the authority of the leader of the believers, أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه, the great lion of Islam, the second Khalifa of Islam. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu is the narrator of this hadith. Qala, he said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَادِ, indeed, actions are based on intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, and indeed, for every person is that which he intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, so whoever's migration was for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, then his migration is for Allah and His Messenger. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, and whoever's migration was for the purpose of the world, to attain the world, or for a woman in order to marry her, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجْرَ إِلَيْهِ, then his migration is to whatever he migrated towards. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, after mentioning this hadith, he states, رَوَاهُ إِمَامَ الْمُحَدِّثِينَ أَبُو عَبْدِ اللَّهِ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ إِسْمَعِيلِ بِنْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ بِنْ الْمُغِيرَ بِنْ بَرْدِزْبَ الْبُخَارِي وَأَبُو الْحُسَيْنِ مُسْلِمُ بْنُ الْحَجَّاجِ بِنْ مُسْلِمِ الْقُشَيْرِ النَّيْسَابُورِي رضي الله عنهما في صحيحيهما اللذين هما أصح الكتب المصنفة. He says that this hadith was narrated by the two great imams of the muhaddithin, Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ismail bin Ibrahim bin Mughira bin Bardizba al-Bukhari, the great Imam Bukhari, and Imam Abu al-Husayn Muslim bin Hajjaj bin Muslim al-Qushayri al-Naysapuri, the great Imam Muslim, in their authentic hadith collections, in their respective sahih, which are the most authentic books compiled by any author. So this hadith, in which the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." Indeed, actions are based on intentions. Wa innama li kulli imrin ma nawa. And indeed, for every person is that which he intended. The question arises, why is this hadith brought at the start? And it's not just Imam Nawawi rahimahullah who brought this hadith at the beginning of his collection. This hadith is also the first hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari radiyallahu anhu. Imam al-Bukhari radiyallahu anhu, he brings this hadith at the beginning of Sahih Bukhari, and after that he brings it six more times in various places throughout Sahih al-Bukhari. So the reason why is this hadith brought at the beginning, the scholars have mentioned that this hadith is discussing the importance of intention. The scholars brought this hadith at the beginning of their compilations. Why? In the commentary it mentions, لِيَنَّ الْإِبْتِدَاءَ بِهِ تَنْبِيهٌ لِلطَّالِبِينَ وَالْمُصَنِّفِينَ بِتَخْلِيسِ نِيَّاتِهِمْ وَتَحْسِينِهَا. Because beginning with this hadith is an indication, is a warning, is alerting us to the fact that those who are seeking knowledge and those who are writing books should purify their intentions before seeking knowledge and before writing those books. So in order to indicate towards the importance of rectifying our intentions before seeking knowledge, the first hadith in the book is a book related to the importance of intentions. So when we open the book and the first hadith is إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, before studying the rest of the book, our intentions for seeking knowledge can be rectified. And we can make good intentions, such as that we are seeking knowledge for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are studying the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to gain the knowledge of the hadith and to act upon it, in order to revive this knowledge and to pass it on to others, in order to gain the blessings of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we hear this hadith at the beginning of the collection, we are reminded to make all of these good intentions before continuing our study. And this hadith, it mentions, وَسَمَّاهُ بَعْضُهُمْ طَلِيعَةَ كُتُبِ الْحَدِيثِ. This particular narration of إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, indeed actions are based on intentions, has been named as طَلِيعَةُ كُتُبِ الْحَدِيثِ, which means the scout of the books of hadith. Meaning, this is the one which is sent forward to the beginning. Tali'a used to be the scout that an army would send forward at the beginning to gain information for the rest of the army. So Tali'a also comes from the word tulu', to rise, and beginning. So this hadith is begun with on purpose in order that the students or the scholars who are studying or teaching the hadith can correct their intentions and can beautify their intentions. It's also mentioned that Al-Imam Abu Sa'id Abdul Rahman bin Mahdi radiyallahu anhu, a great scholar of hadith, a great muhaddith, he mentioned, مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُصَنِّفَ كِتَابًا فَلْيَبْدَأْ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. Whoever intends to write a book, he should begin with this hadith, the hadith of إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. وَقَالَ, and he also said, لَوْ صَنَّفْتُ كِتَابًا لَبَدَأْتُ فِي كُلِّ بَابٍ مِّنْهُ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ. He said, if I was to write a book, I would begin in every chapter of the book with this hadith. Not just at the beginning of the book, every chapter. Chapter 1, he would begin by writing إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ and the entire hadith. Then he would write the first chapter of his book. At the beginning of the second chapter of his book, he would narrate this hadith again. He would write this hadith of إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ again. At the beginning of the third chapter, and so on and so forth. At the beginning of every chapter of the book that he would write. Such was the importance that this great Imam gave to this particular narration, this particular hadith, which is being begun with here by Imam al-Nawwi. Imam said, لَيْسَ فِي أَخْبَارِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ شَيْءٌ أجمع وأغنى وأكثر فائدة من هذا الحديث. He says that there is nothing in the traditions reported from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم which is more comprehensive and more full of benefits than this particular hadith. And the blessings of this hadith, the importance of this hadith, is mentioned regarding Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, Imam Ali bin al-Madini, Imam Abu Dawood, Imam Dar Qutni, and many other scholars, rahimahumullahu ajma'in, ala annahu thuluthul Islam, that this hadith is one third of Islam. One third of Islam is based upon this one single hadith of innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, that indeed actions are based on intentions. Subhanallah. And this was explained by the scholars who said that the reason why the scholars stated that this hadith is one third of knowledge is because the actions of a person يَقَعُ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ وَجَوَارِهِ, the actions of a person or the earnings of a person, the deeds of a person occur from his heart, his tongue and his body parts. So if we divide the deeds of the human being into three, one, those deeds which are done by the body parts, one, those deeds which are done by the tongue, and one, those deeds which are done by the heart, we come to three major categories of deeds. One is the qawl, the speech, that which is done by the tongue. One is the fi'l, the action, which is done by the body parts. And one is the niyyah, the intention, which is done by the heart. So therefore, intentions are one third of our actions in Islam. And this hadith is the basis of what we know about the importance of intentions in Islam. And therefore, this hadith formulates one third of the teachings of Islam. Subhanallah. Moving on, regarding this hadith itself, it mentions that إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, indeed, actions are based on intentions. What do we learn from this? We learn from this, the scholars of hadith, they extract from this statement of the Prophet ﷺ that our reward for our actions is only attained if we have made good intentions. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, indeed, actions are based on intentions, i.e., indeed, the reward of actions is based on intentions. If somebody has made an intention, he will get reward. If somebody hasn't made an intention, he won't get reward. You can understand this with the following example. Now, if two people are entering the masjid, and they're entering the masjid at the same time, and they've both placed their right foot into the masjid first, one of them has made the intention in his heart that he is placing his right foot into the masjid first to act upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the other one has done the exact same action. To the person who's watching, it looks like both have done the exact same action. But the second person, he also placed his right foot into the masjid first. But he just did so coincidentally, without thinking about it. It just so happened that his right foot entered the masjid first. He didn't make any intention at all for doing so. Now both individuals have performed the exact same action, but the first has been rewarded and the second hasn't, because the first made a good intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, indeed actions are based upon intentions. Then the beloved Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, and indeed, for every person is that which he intended. What does this mean? The scholars of hadith derive a second benefit from this hadith, from these words. The first part of the hadith taught us that it's necessary for us to gain reward that we make good intentions. And the reward of our actions is based upon our intentions. The second part of the hadith states that indeed for every person is that which he intended. Meaning, if one person made 15 intentions for a particular good deed, he will gain more rewards than a person who made just 5 intentions. I.e., the multiplication of reward is based upon the multiplication of intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَى, indeed, for every person is that which he intended. For the one who made more intentions is more reward, and for the one who made less intentions is less reward. Moving on, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, whoever's hijrah, whoever's migration is towards Allah and His Messenger, then his migration is towards Allah and His Messenger. And Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah himself, he explains this in a book called Al-Imla. In Al-Imla, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah has commentated, he's compiled a full book, just in commentary of this first hadith, which he compiles in his Arba'een. In that he writes, that من قصد بهجرتي طاعة الله ورسوله فهجرته مقبولة. He says, whoever intends with the hijrah, with migration, obedience to Allah and His Messenger, then his hijrah is accepted, his migration is accepted. So the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned this at the time when the Sahaba ikram alayhi ridwan were migrating, were traveling and leaving Makkatul Mukarramah and going to move to Al-Madinatul Munawwara. They migrated from Mecca to Medina. This is known as the hijrah. So here, the Prophet alayhi sallam says, whoever has migrated, left everything, left his family, left his home, left his business, left everything behind in Mecca, and gone to start a new life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Madinatul Munawwara, he's migrated, he's left everything behind. Such a person's migration will only be accepted if he has done so for the sake of Allah and His Messenger. If he is sincere and his intention was to migrate for the sake of Allah and His Messenger, then his hijrah, his migration is accepted. But وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, whoever's migration was for the world to attain it, any worldly purpose, to attain the world. أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, or his migration was to marry a particular woman. فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, then his migration is towards whatever he migrated to. Here Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, again in Al-Imla, he mentions, وَمَنْ قَصَدَ بِهَا الدُّنْيَا فَهِيَ حَظُّهُ لَا شَيْءَ لَهُ غِيْرَهُ. He says, whoever intends the world through the migration, then he'll gain the world. The world is his portion. But he will not get anything other than the world, meaning he will not get any reward for that migration. It's mentioned in the commentary of this particular hadith, that this hadith was spoken by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam due to the event of the man who intended to migrate from Makkatul Mukarramah to Al-Madinatul Munawwara to marry a woman called Qais. The woman Qais had migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, and in order to marry her, this individual had followed her to Medina. So this person had migrated for the sake of marrying this woman. For this reason, his name amongst the companions became Muhajiru Qais, the Muhajir of Qais. Now here, in this particular incident, it's important to remember that it's possible that this individual traveled for the sake of marrying Qais and also for other beneficial things as well. But because the Sahaba Kiram alayhi ridwan are the best of generations, and that which is expected from them is higher than that which is expected from normal people. Therefore, it's possible that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he mentioned these words, that whoever migrates for the world to reach it, whoever migrates for the sake of a woman to marry her, then his migration is towards whatever he migrated towards. It's also mentioned regarding the sababul wurud of this particular hadith. This is mentioned by Imam Abid Sindhi rahimahullah ta'ala, a great muhaddith. Imam Abid Sindhi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that one particular interpretation of this hadith, it could be that this hadith was spoken by the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, لِيَنَّ الْأَنصَارَ قَاسَمَتِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ, because the Ansar, those who were the helpers in Medina Sharif, they distributed, or they divided their wealth and their property, and even those who they were married to, their wives, in order to help those muhajireen, those migrants who are coming from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinatul Munawwara. So when the new migrants, the new muhajireen came to Madinatul Munawwara, and they had nothing, they had no wealth, they left their families behind, the Ansar, those who received them, the helpers, they gave them such a warm welcome that some, if they had two houses, they kept one house for themselves and gave one house to their muhajir brother, to their new brother who had traveled from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. Some of them, who had two wives, they would divorce one wife, and then that wife afterwards would get married to that muhajir brother, to that muhajir, the person who had migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. So because of this, when the Prophet ﷺ saw this, He preempted the fact that it's possible that somebody else would hear about this, that he would come from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah in order to gain that wealth, in order to gain that woman to marry, in order to gain that one house out of the two. So to stop this from happening, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, whoever's migration is towards the world in order to attain it, أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, or a woman in order to marry her, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَىٰ مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, then his migration is to whatever he migrated towards. In order that nobody migrates in order to get married to one of those wives of the Ansar, or to get one of the houses of the Ansar, or to get the wealth that was being distributed and divided by the helpers, the Ansar, in Medina. So that the companions, the Muhajireen, those who were migrating, would ensure that their intention was solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From this hadith we also learn that the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was mentioning that whoever migrates to Allah and His Messenger, has migrated to Allah and His Messenger. And whoever migrates for the world, whoever migrates for a woman, then he has migrated to whatever he's migrated towards. Here, Allah and His Messenger are mentioned twice, and the world and the woman are only mentioned once. The second time, just an indication is done towards the woman and the world by saying, the person migrated towards whatever he migrated towards. This is to show the lowliness of the world and the lowliness of intentions which are just for the world, and to show the blessings of doing things for the sake of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also learn from this hadith, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that whoever's migration is towards Allah and His Messenger. How? Making the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a part of our intentions. Intending the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is also an aspect of our deen. And making an intention that we are doing a good deed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as making an intention that we are doing a good deed for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is perfectly permissible. Furthermore, regarding this hadith, it's important to note that here the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has mentioned specifically the woman. Why? To show the importance of a person protecting themselves from falling into the fitna, the tribulation of women. The ahadith which mention intentions are many. There are many other ahadith on intentions which teach us the importance of intentions and further clarify this particular hadith. And the scholars have mentioned the importance of ilmun niyya, the importance of the knowledge of intentions. The likes of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he mentions that his dua, kana min du'a'i Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, from amongst the dua of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was, Allahumma habli imanan wa yaqinan wa mu'afatan wa niyya. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, afdalul bashari ba'da al-anbiya, the greatest of human beings after the anbiya. What was his dua? What was a part of his dua? Allahumma habli imana. Oh Allah, grant me iman, grant me faith. Wa yaqina, and grant me certainty. Wa mu'afa, and oh Allah, grant me security, grant me safety. Waniyya, and oh Allah, grant me intention. Grant me the ability to make righteous intentions. Subhanallah. And Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, ما عالجت شيئا أشد علي من نيتي لأنها تتقلب علي. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, radiyallahu anhu, he said, I have never treated anything more severe than intentions, than my intention. Why? Because the intention is something that continues to change. And a person makes a good intention, but that intention changes. He makes a good intention, it changes again. So the intention, and gaining control over an intention, he says, is one of the most difficult things. And he mentions that Imam al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he also said, كانوا يتعلمون النية للعمل كما تتعلمون العمل. He said that the pious predecessors, the Sahaba kiram, the greatest of the Tabi'een, they used to learn niyyah, they used to learn intentions for actions, just as you people learn how to perform those actions. Subhanallah. They used to actually study how to make intentions. And the scholars in the past considered ilmun niyyah, the knowledge of intentions, the science of intentions, to be a separate discipline a separate subject from amongst the subjects of Islam, to the extent that Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahl Sunnat, Mujaddid Deen Millat, Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Alayhi Rahmatul Rahman, in Fatawa Zawiyah Sharif, compiled a huge list of the intentions that a person can make just when going to the masjid. Something that many of us do all the time. Going to the masjid to perform our salah. Many a time we might have any intention. If we don't have any intention, we don't get any reward. Many a time, we may only have one intention, to go and perform our salah. If we only have one intention, then our reward would be in accordance to that. But those who had ilmun niyya, those who were alim bin niyya, those who had knowledge of intentions, the likes of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman, they would make many, many intentions for that same actions. For example, he said that an intention that could be made is that a person is going to the masjid, and when he goes to the masjid, whilst he is walking, he will perform the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he goes to the masjid, he will do the ziyarat, he will have the beautiful vision of the imam, the scholar of deen. He will meet his fellow Muslims and he will give salam to them. He mentions that when he goes to the masjid, he can also make the intention that he will perform tahiyyatul wudu, tahiyyatul masjid. He will perform his fard with jama'ah. He will perform his sunan, his nawafil. He can make the intention that whilst he is walking to the masjid, if he sees anything harmful in the path, he will remove that from the path. When he makes all of these intentions and more, now his reward starts to multiply. And any person who knows about investments, you know that gaining the most amount of, maximum amount of profit from the least amount of capital, this is good business. So if we invest a certain amount of money, we want to gain the most profit from that amount of money as possible. That's a business mind. But the person who has the mind of the business of the hereafter, gaining a reward for the hereafter, gaining an elevation of status in the gardens of paradise, inshaAllah, that person thinks that now I'm going to invest 15 minutes of my time to go and perform my salah in the masjid. That 15 minutes that I'm investing, why not, instead of getting that 15 minutes worth of reward multiplied by 2 or 3, why not get that 15 minutes of reward multiplied by 10? Why not get the most profit from that investment of time in terms of the reward that I attain at the end of it? And a person does that by increasing his intentions before doing that particular action. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, in this day and age, we are very, very fortunate. We have Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir Ahl Sunnat, Hazrat Alama Abu Bilal, Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, the great spiritual and knowledgeable personality of this time and this era. Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, has revived Ilmun Niyya in our times. You see, before the Ijtima'at of Dawat Islami, the Muballighin, and the instructions of Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, make everybody perform intentions, so that everybody is getting as much reward as possible. Amir Ahl Sunnat himself has intentions printed out and placed in his room, so that he can make those intentions before performing good deeds. Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, makes those intentions every Saturday before the Madani Muzakara, as we see on Madani channel. Amir Ahl Sunnat, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, has written a booklet, Sawab Barhane Ke Nuskhe, Methods of Increasing Reward, in which Amir Ahl Sunnat has listed those good intentions that we can make before many things that we do on a daily basis. For example, drinking tea. Also, Amir Ahl Sunnat has listed the intentions that we can make before eating. So that when we do all these deeds that we do on a regular basis, regular actions that we do in our life anyway, drinking tea, eating food, going to sleep, etc., etc., if we just look through this and make those multiple intentions, that act of ours can turn it into a profitable act, an act from which we gain an abundance of reward. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, from this blessed hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, we've learnt about the importance of intentions, and also we have learnt about how in this day and age, in this environment of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, this knowledge of intentions is being revived. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies our hearts. We pray that Allah azza wa jal gives us the ability to learn how to make intentions, and then to make as many good intentions for all our actions as possible. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi, wa baraka wa sallam.
In the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the light of hadith, in the